Let us again come before the Lord in prayer. Our heavenly and gracious God, we thank Thee that the Bible is Thy Word, and that it is not the Word of man which changes all the time, but Thy Word has been established, it has been settled in heaven. Thy Word has been revealed to us, and in it we find Jesus Christ. We find the message of salvation. We find that true and sure promise of God that He will save all who would come to Him by faith in His Son. Lord, we pray that such things might be made plain to us, and that each one of us might draw out of that well of salvation for our souls and benefit from it. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. In this prophecy of Isaiah that we have read together, Isaiah, as always, speaks of certain good news. It speaks spiritually about salvation. And here in this part of Isaiah, we find a section of praise, a promise that is made that causes people to rejoice and be glad. A person who will praise God. In verse 1 of Isaiah 12, we read, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee." That person is not forced into it, but he wants to. I will. This is what I want to. God has changed my heart, so what I will do, I will praise God with joy and gladness. And then he goes on to say the reason why. Because God's anger has been turned away. God's wrath has been turned away, and what he finds is comfort. God comforts his soul. Jesus Christ is called also our comfort and peace. And His Holy Spirit is called our comforter. This is the message about Jesus Christ. It is a message about salvation. Is this you? Is it talking about you? Can you relate to this at all? "Behold, God is my salvation," he goes on to say in verse 2. "I will trust and not be afraid." This is a world that so many people are afraid. Afraid of people and things. Afraid of what will happen in future. What has happened to us in the past. In verse 3, it talks about wells of salvation. It says, "Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." This is the person whom the Lord has saved. What will happen to them? They are drawing out from the wells of salvation. These are a spiritual language, yet speaking about real people. Wells of salvation. What wonderful expression this is. What do you find in a well? You hope there will be water in there, so you would draw water out of it. But then there are also empty wells, abandoned wells. There are empty wells in lives of people who are not converted, people of this world. They have empty wells, empty vessels. And what will happen? These wells gather dust. These wells gather all kinds of things in them, rubbish and rubble. And they don't satisfy. Let me tell you about some of these empty wells. Empty wells that have nothing to benefit from. Empty wells that disappoint us. Can you relate to that? There are people who would go after, and they put their hope and trust in the wells of man-made religions, false religions. And they go through motions of things. They go through their lives, thinking, putting their hope and trust in it. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes for their burden and guilt to be taken away, and to have peace with God and assurance, to be sure, not simply hope, but to be sure, they find that it is empty. They have no answers. They have been doing, they have been giving, and yet it is disappointing. There would be people who would be disappointed in a life that they have spent in working, studying. At university, we used to talk about these eternal students, people who would go through 4 years of studies, and then they do another 4 years. I knew one student who did three lots of courses. And yet, what did he find? At the end of each one, it was empty. It didn't satisfy him. There would be people who would be pouring their life into their families, into things that they think, these are hopeful things. I will trust in my husband. I will trust in my wife for what? For, to satisfy my soul, satisfy my longings. And then they find it doesn't satisfy. Their motives have been wrong. There would be those who would be pouring their life into their friends. They think they will remain, they will stay with them. Isn't that the case? So many people, especially the young, the youth. And you pour your life, you spend so much time with people that you think you're going to be with for so many years. They will be there with you all through your life. You're best friends now. But how many have been disappointed? Things change. People change. They cannot satisfy the longings of the heart. It is an empty well. If you are trying to fill it with these things, there are others with hobbies, and we could go on with so many things that we may take up and put our trust and hope in. And then there are those who are drawing out. They found a well that has wonderful water in it. And it has water of salvation. And they begin with joy drawing from it. And they call it wells of salvation. Do you understand this? What this is about? It's not a surprise when people may read the Bible with very little interest. They don't understand what it is about. Because until we know somewhat about who we are by nature, our souls, and the fact that we are lost and lost in sin under God's condemnation, then the way of salvation and the way of forgiveness and these spiritual truths that I've been talking about will be close to you. You won't be seeking it. You won't be interested in it. All of these things in the Bible is just like a locked book, a sealed book. It's a different language altogether. Oh, but when you experience a taste of the Savior's love, the taste of God's love, and instantly, then we will find in this inspired volume, mines of wealth. There is so much treasure in this book. It's such a storehouse, the Bible, and it is a storehouse for those who love the Lord. Those who have been converted by faith in Jesus Christ, they find this book. It's full of wells of salvation, wells of blessing. And so they keep drawing out of it, day after day. They are not tired of it. They love it. And they might take something out and they don't fully understand it. But they know it will become a blessing to them later. It says, in that day, in verse 1, in that day, what a thing. In that day thou shalt say. In that day, those people will say, oh Lord, I will praise thee. Which day is that? It's the day when their eyes were opened. It's the day when they received the spiritual life. It is the day that they realize they have been trying to draw out of these empty wells, and then God has opened their hearts. God has shown them that there's a better well. There is the well of salvation. The Lord has shown them that there's a Savior to be sought. There's a salvation to be had. There's a Christ who has died for sinners like us. And that person has found that. And so they are now rejoicing in that day. They're praising God. They're thanking the Lord. I've not seen anything like this anywhere else. In any other religion. This kind of joy, this kind of satisfaction, this kind of praise. There's nothing to praise about other than when a soul is truly converted. And so in verse 2 it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." So it's God who becomes our salvation. And in Jesus Christ, we find this redeeming and this merciful God. Then it is that you will benefit from the Bible. Then it is that this book becomes alive to you. Every page of it, you feel it. This is the book of God. This is truly from heaven. It will live for you and truly benefit you. And so it says, "Therefore shall they draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation." Now I want us to, in the time that we have, think upon this subject. Drawing from the wells of salvation. What does it mean? Drawing from wells of salvation. So think about it. Wells of salvation. That's the character of the Bible, the Scriptures. This expression, wells of salvation, it is thought by many people that is spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would say that this is about the Lord Jesus. And yes, we may very well apply this to the Lord Jesus. But I rather understand it of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. From there, as from a limitless fountain, all truth flows, all true comfort comes forth and flows out. All of Christ is flowing out of the Scriptures. And we are drawing and drawing from these great wells of His Scripture. And what we find is the thing that rejoices our hearts. We bring up things of Christ our Savior. It contains all the blessings of salvation. Leads us to the right thing. You know, there are many people have opinions and tells you, you need to live your life like this and you need to do this. You shouldn't do that in your life. But no one or nothing like the Bible leads us to such spiritual blessings that are true and yet right. You want to know how a sinner is converted? You know, you want to know how a sinner who is lost can be found and saved? You want to know what is God's plan and will for all eternity? How Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How was He born of the Virgin Mary? How He should be our Savior? How He lived and how He died on the behalf of sinners like us? Living and dying instead of us? You want to know more about these things? How now He is glorified sitting at the right hand of God? How He is still saving sinners? Healing their souls? How He is hearing them, answering their prayers as they offer up their prayers to God? How He is fulfilling His promises to His people? You want to know about these things? Well, here are these wells of salvation in the Bible. All is revealed in this and written in this book. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul says this about what we are talking about. In Romans 16 and verse 25, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So he's saying that through the scriptures, these things have been revealed now to all nations. God has shown what his plan is, how he will save sinners, so that we might trust in him, have faith. This obedience of faith is about trusting in what it says. Now, you think about this, my friends. You think about what the Bible says about the wisdom of God. You think about how God has planned how he would save sinners. What a thing that is. That God should even look on us to receive us, accept us. Well, he cannot do that. Merely say, I will forgive you. I will accept you. You know, there are some people who would say, well, I don't mind whatever will happen. I'm doing my best in this life. And I know, I believe in God. And I know at the end, God will be merciful to me. My friends, that is not what the Bible says. God will only show mercy until he has dealt with our sin. Until then, we are condemned under his judgment and wrath. We will be punished unless God removes our sin. This debt has to be paid by us or by another. And the message of the Bible is that someone has paid the debt. Jesus Christ, he died instead of us. He became sin for us. And God poured his wrath on him. He was our substitute. This book speaks about the love of God. Love of God which has no limits. It has no boundaries. It reaches down to someone who is such a beggar. You think about the blind Bartimaeus. It's recorded of him in Mark's Gospel chapter 9. What a beggar he was. He also was sitting at wells that were empty. He was dependent always on people. Isn't that the case? You go into Cheltenham High Street and there are people sitting, begging, asking for money. And they would take whatever you throw. But you know there would be people like that. They go through their life like beggars. And they have their empty sack and they will just take whatever the world throws at them. They just take things and go with things. And then with the blind Bartimaeus, which is a picture of a sinner blind, and the beggar has nothing. Jesus Christ, for the last time, passes by. And then he realizes, this is Christ. He has saved others. He has healed others. And he didn't realize this was the last time that Jesus Christ would pass by. And so he cried out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the Lord saved him, called him. This is what the Bible teaches. It reveals to us this love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy of God. There's grace in it. Grace. This favor of God towards those who don't deserve it. Can we take these things in? And so we keep drawing out. The person who's come to realize these things, he cannot have enough of it. They keep every day. They're drawing out these truths, meditating on them, praising God for it, thanking God, rejoicing in these truths. The more you realize that Jesus Christ died so that a person like you might be saved from judgment and hell, to be saved, to serve and to know and to love God, these things become a matter of joy for you. Words cannot explain. There's so much blessing in drawing out these truths from the Bible. Do you understand these things? Has God made you to see it spiritually? And the Bible shows these things for our use. It's not something that like we would go and do at school. I don't know, half of the things or 99% of the things I did for certain subjects. I won't mention anything in case someone is offended by it. But lots of things that we learned. What's the use of it to us now, day by day? The things that I did for chemistry, and they're all interesting things. But I'm not using them. I'm not making use of them. They're not benefiting me personally, or maybe I'm ignorant of them. But this is not something that we can say, I will just take it into my mind and it won't benefit me. No, the Bible says this so that we might use it. We might be blessed by it. In the whole world, in comparison, there is not as to be found one drop of water to satisfy a thirsty soul. Where can a person look who feels oppressed? Where can you look when you feel burdened under a sense of your guilt and shame? Why am I like this? Where can we go when we are tired of seeing ourselves repeating the same things? As we go through life, in our speech, in our thinking, in our feelings, in our actions, and we feel, I cannot break loose. This is me. Where shall I go? Who shall save me? Who shall help me? Think more for a moment, friends. If you were to go to those people who don't have the scriptures, who don't have the promises of God, if you go to those people who do not know the Savior, who haven't experienced, they haven't tasted of the Lord's goodness and salvation, you go even to the wisest of intellectuals and philosophers, people that you might see on the television. I read a report about some counselors. And do you know, the highest rate of divorce and suicide is among psychologists and counselors. They are supposed to know it. They are supposed to have all the self-help tools available to them. But I think many of them realize there is no help in man. We do not know the deepest things in our hearts and in our souls. Only God does. But you go to them. You know, there's a great large section in various charity shops that you go. I've said this before, but on self-help books, why is it so large? If they are so helpful and useful, why don't people keep them and reuse them? And then there is another section, which is the religious section. It is all the trite material that is there, all the useless religious things that publishers bring out, and it's no use. So people get rid of it. But the good things, you never get rid of a book that has blessed your soul. We don't get rid of our Bibles. Why? Because we read in it of a person who changes us from inside out. We read in it of a person who knows the pollutions of our souls, and He has promised to remove them if we trust in Him. We see in the Bible, friends, great things. We find all that a sinner can want. We find an atonement sufficient for the sins of the whole world, and an almighty agent, almighty person, the Holy Spirit of God, who's ready to live and dwell in our hearts if we were to seek Him. And He begins to work, He begins to transform our souls into the image, the divine image. My friends, think about what is being promised to you. All the promises of God are promised to those who believe in the Bible. All of us who are fallen in our sins, Yet God comes in mercy, promises us salvation, redemption, that we can flee, that we can be saved. These promises make us live. It refreshes our souls as water taken by a person who is thirsty. How they are refreshed in a hot day when they take a glass of water and drink from it. What a sad thing it would be, my friends, if you go through life always having a thirst in your soul and there is nothing there to quench it. This is why we need the Scriptures. This is why we need the Gospel of Jesus Christ. To go through life without being saved. It is to go through life without a drop of water. To be thirsty. When there is a well that is full. When there are wells of salvation. Promises of God and in Jesus Christ. Do not neglect this. Go to these wells, these promises of the Scriptures, and draw from it. By faith, take hold upon it. What God says to you, what Christ calls you to, in trusting in Him. They're useful to us. And then we must apply it. They are there to be applied to our souls. Like a spring that pours out its waters, so that the Scriptures gives life, pours out in the soul peace and strength to all who go to them, to go to the God's appointed channel of communicating to our souls. You see, God speaks to the soul of man through Scriptures. The Bible has within itself this living or life-giving power, because what we find in the Bible is the living Jesus Christ. So then, when they are brought home to us, when they are applied to us by God's Spirit, they make the dead live. It transforms the life. It transforms the soul. And everything in us will have God's strength. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to that woman at the well. It's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew what was God's gift, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's what Christ says. If you knew who it is that you're talking to, you wouldn't just ask for merely water, physical water, but you would say, give me spiritual water. Give me to drink for my soul. And then he would have given thee living water. This spiritual water, what's talking about the salvation that is promised to us in the gospel, not only is given to us to make us wise to salvation, but to give salvation itself. It is like a fire that consumes the dross. The Bible is like the hammer, and the gospel is like a hammer to break the stony, rocky heart in pieces. Aren't we so hard in our hearts? Can we not be so stubborn, so unbending by nature? But the Bible, these promises of the gospel, is that the Lord would break your heart and then change your heart, give you a new spirit. The Bible is like a two-edged sword to pierce the very inmost of the soul. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon to destroy every enemy. This Bible has the power, and the gospel of Jesus Christ more clearly has the power to enlighten the darkened mind. You see, or you say to yourself, I'm so blinded in my thoughts. I'm so confused about the purpose of why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Am I only here to work in an office or work in a shop? Is there anything beyond this life? Am I here just to go on Monday mornings to work and come back home and then get up and go through all these shifts? Or go to school and back and read these books and do pass exams and get married and have children and become grandparents? And is this all that there is to life? The Bible comes in the gospel of Jesus Christ and says, the Lord is our portion. The Lord is our salvation. God has made us not for this world, but He's made us for Himself. He is to be worshipped by us, loved by us. We are made to experience the love of God and the fellowship and the nearness of the Lord. So think on these things. Then something else for us to think is the sinner's access to the wells of salvation. The sinners can have access to these wells. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Who are these people who will draw out this blessing from the Lord, this salvation from the Lord? Who are these blessed ones? Oh, these were sinners who are saved. And this salvation, or the wells of salvation, is accessible to sinners. God has not prohibited us. God has not drawn a wall around it. This well is freely available for any poor sinner who is thirsty to go and take and drink. Think on these things. The freeness which we all may come and to take and to be satisfied. The freeness of it. There is no prohibition, no restriction to anyone. God doesn't come to you and say, only adults can come and be saved. Or the Lord doesn't come and say, well, no, you adults, you're too old now. I only will receive people up to the age of 20. No, anyone, adults, youth, children. At times when there was a well dug up so that everyone may use it, people fought over it. You have the example of it in the Bible, don't we? When we read in the book of Genesis and we read the account of Abraham and Lot and their servants, how they fought over these common wells. It was for everybody, but they fought over it. Isn't that true? People can fight over things that are free. I remember at times when about 7-8 years ago, when there was the floods in Cheltenham and in Gloucester, and the council brought those big tanks of water. I remember going past one time, and the level of water had gone really, really low in one of these tanks, and there were two people arguing over it. Who should have it? It's all free. And yet there were these two. A man could go down the road and there was another one that was fuller than this one. But he wouldn't. He would spend half an hour fighting over it with another person. What a sad thing that is. But with the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached to you from this book is for all who would take, who would have these things, these blessings, and equally accessible to everyone. None have to pay for this water. And we can have this blessing. You don't have to go through your life thirsty and empty. You can go out saved. Receive salvation. Your thirst quenched with the blessing of the gospel. You must trust in Christ and what He has done. You must bow before Him. Bow low, humble yourself in repentance, and then trust that He has died for you.
Isaiah tells us this.
Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You don't have to pay for it. But you must give your life. All of it. Completely. Wholly be given to Christ. Yield it to Him. For Him to take you. Who would stop you? Who would stop you coming? Will God stop you and say, no, you cannot come? But there would be others who will try to stop you. Oh, there would be Satan. Already maybe he's dropping all kinds of thoughts, distracting you from in different ways. He will trick you and say, these things are foolish. These things are not really true. They've made it all up. It's what the church has brought about. And he can deceive you in this way, very subtly as well. Or your heart can bring up all kinds of things. Maybe you are worried about something this coming week. And these things will be a stumbling block for you. It's distracting you. And maybe there would be others. Maybe family members. You might be concerned about it. What if they think I've become too religious? What if they find me out in church? And these things will be a hindrance to you. Maybe you're worried about the pressures that you might come under at work. People laughing at you. But God has said to you, come. He's given you all equal rights to come. His invitation is, let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty in your soul? And then he says, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And what a thing it is. It's free, it's accessible. It can be easily taken, drawn out. There are people who will say, oh, I won't be blessed. Look at what kind of a person I am. This is for others. Or the wells are deep. They require too much effort. I don't have anything to draw with. Wasn't that the case that woman said to the Lord Jesus? You don't have anything to draw with. But my friends, the Lord Jesus is there. The Lord Jesus is there. When you come to trust in Him, He is there. He will give you salvation. He will draw out what you need to save you. However weak and feeble and foolish you are, Jesus Christ will save. It is faith and not learning that you need. A full trust in Jesus Christ, that is what we need. All the learning of the universe will not give us this spiritual life. Does all the learning that you might have, reading lots of books, will it improve your eyesight? Will it improve your hearing? If you have hurt yourself, will it help you to be healed? No. And so we could say the same about the spiritual things. All the learning that you might have, it doesn't heal you, but Jesus Christ will heal your soul. And that is what we all need, my friends. There is plentiful blessing as well. You think about that. It will not run dry. You remember the rock that Moses struck with his rod. When they were in the wilderness, if you remember in the Bible, it tells us of that. That Moses struck the rock when they were all thirsty. And the scripture says, and the waters gushed out in such abundance that the whole camp of Israel, thousands upon thousands, some commentators would say, if there were about 2.5 million people, they were able to drink of that water with all their cattle and be satisfied. And my friends, all sinners in the universe, if they go to these wells of salvation, to Christ Himself, they will not find it dry, they will find it full, and they can be blessed. If any man thirst, the Lord Jesus Christ said, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of water, of living water. Are you intensely thirsty in your soul? Or are you saying, well, I'll think about this. I'll wait for another time. How long will you wait? How long do you have? Oh, my friends, there are maybe those who are going to what the Bible calls broken cisterns. You're trying to get your satisfaction from the things of this world, containers in this world that you think have good things in them, but the Bible says that they're broken cisterns. They have a crack in it. There is nothing in it at last. It all becomes empty at last. And if you go after earthly things, that is what you always will find. Always you will find things that are broken, something wrong with them. They will disappoint you. Will you forsake the Lord for such things? Will you forsake the fountain of the living water for broken things? Go to the Lord and be reconciled to God. How can you be reconciled to God, who naturally is our enemy because we have offended Him, broken His law? We go to Him pleading the merits of Jesus Christ. Say, on the account of what Christ has done, Lord, save me, have mercy on me. And then it is that you will be able to say with David, all my springs, all the fresh springs are in thee. And then there are those of you who are drinking from this fountain of life. You're drawing out from the wells of salvation. Oh, you will be distracted. You will be hindered. There will be disappointing things in your life. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going to the Lord. Keep going to the Scriptures. Keep rejoicing in the truth. Keep trusting in the Savior. He will not fail you. He will supply all your needs. Others don't know what you have. These promises of God has blessed you in the past. It will bless you. And plead these promises. The things that God has given to you, plead them before the throne of God, and the Lord will supply all your needs. He will take you to heaven safely. You will reach there at last, and nothing will be lost. No one will be lost who are kept by God's power. The streams will never fail. And even when you feel at your lowest, the Lord will comfort you. For the Lamb, the Scripture says, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. But here is salvation. Therefore, on the basis of this salvation, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Do you understand this, my friends? Do you appreciate what you are hearing tonight? Well, may God give us all this sight to see and experience of these truths. Amen.